Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked on Wolves. Today on the show, we continue Timberwolves roster previews by looking at Jalen Nowell and Taurean Prince, two players who will be in the thick of head coach Chris Fitch's rotation this season. What to expect from each of them based on what they brought to the table last year? How will their roles change, or certainly in the case of Jalen Nowell, and possibly Prince too, how will their roles increase this year? Plus, we'll look at the early returns on the ESPN NBA rank, a few notes from Zach Lowe's recent podcast with John Krasinski related to the Timberwolves, what the national folks, including Zach Lowe, are saying about the Wolves at the start of training camp. It's all coming to the show today. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked on Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked on Wolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked on Wolves. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day. Hopefully you're having a fantastic week. Packed show today. A big thank you here off the top for making Locked on Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, you can listen to this show anywhere. It's free and available wherever you listen to podcasts. That, of course, includes YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked on T-Wolves and at my account, which is at bbeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, I'm pumped. We're less than a week away from the start of training camp now. Media days next week. We're, 2 weeks away from the first preseason game? Less than 2 weeks and less than a month away from the first regular season game. This is happening. Like, we're there. I have a lot to talk about. I want to start with roster previews. I want to get into ESPN's NBA rank is out. So some I guess, notes on the first 75 players released. John Krasinski from The Athletic was on Zach Lowe's podcast over at ESPN. I guess this was a Tuesday show, so it just came out. It had some interesting, Zach Lowe had some interesting things to say about the Timberwolves. So I want to touch on those at the end of the show, but let's start with the roster preview. Because we're going through the roster. I started with the end of the roster, the Exhibit 10 training camp guys, the two-way players, the rookies. You know, we kind of talked our way through the back part of the roster. Now we're into the meat of the rotation. And today, the guys who I think are the seventh and eighth men in this Timberwolves in Chris Finch's rotation. So we'll start with Jalen Nowell. And Nowell, I actually did a whole show on Jalen, I think it was last week. And if you're a regular listener to the podcast, you've heard me talk, you know how much I like Jalen Nowell and how much of a Jalen Nowell fan I am. It's been now over really almost 2.5 years. It was like, a year and a half. I'm overselling it a little. About a year and a half that I've been talking about Jalen Nowell as a legit NBA rotation player, a microwave scorer off the bench, a more versatile player than people have given him credit for. We saw a lot of it last year, and now the Wolves have given him the role that he wants. They're going to give him, very likely, the opportunity to win sixth man type minutes this year for the Wolves. He could be the leading minutes getter off the bench on a nightly basis. I have him penciled in as the eighth man, technically speaking, in terms of minutes allotment. I think his ceiling is a legit sixth man, and potentially even, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, a sixth man of the year type candidate. I made a prediction several weeks ago that he will receive some votes in the sixth man of the year competition, or I guess voting at the end of the season. I think at the start of the year, in terms of like number of minutes that Jalen Nowell is going to get, he's probably realistically in the 14 to 16 range, probably closer to 16 minutes a game, 16, 17 minutes a game. And here's why. The Wolves, we'll get to who I think will, Kyle Anderson obviously is the number one candidate to receive the most minutes off the bench, positional flexibility, been a starter on a playoff team, you know, has the ability to guard multiple positions, can initiate offense, all those things. We'll talk about Kyle Anderson probably on Friday. But Jalen Nowell, besides him, is probably the most versatile player off the bench that can also truly get his own shot, can create scoring opportunities for himself and for others. What I like about Jalen Nowell the most and his fit with this team, first and foremost, is how good he works in the pick and roll. We talked about this extensively the other day. We'll get back to that. But related to that is that his playing style is almost an exact mix between D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards. And again, if you're a regular listener, you've heard me make this argument. I'll make it very quickly today. almost everything about Jalen Noel is somewhere right between D'Lo and Anthony Edwards, for better and for worse, frankly. The playing style, you know, he gets to the rim certainly more than D'Lo, not as much as Ant. He's moderately effective there. He scores in the mid-range, not as good as D'Lo, better than Ant. He's a good three-point shooter. Percentage-wise, I believe he was actually ahead of both of them last year, but he's likely somewhere in between. I would say D'Lo is a better all-around three-point shooter, even though his percentage was down a little bit last year. He's probably still better than Ant. Ant's got a little bit greater range. Just confirming that, Jalen was 39% last year from three. Ant was 35.7, and D'Lo was 34%. But we know D'Lo is better than that, right? So the three-point range is kind of hovering in that same category, or that same, I guess range of both D'Lo and Jalen Noel. D'Lo and Anthony Edwards, excuse me. His size, right? He's similar size to D'Lo, not quite as big as Ant. Got good length and can score at all three levels. Again, better in the mid range than Ant, but D'Lo's a master there. Better at the rim than D'Lo, not quite as good as Ant. Similar from outside the arc, but he can do it all, and he can distribute, right? He's a bit of a better passer than Anthony Edwards at this stage. Ant obviously has a higher ceiling there because of the physicality and some of the things he could do. And he's not the pick-and-roll passer that D'Lo is, but he's a better passer than Ant, not quite to the level of D'Lo. His playing style is almost an exact mix between the two, so you can get away with playing him off the bench to initiate offense if you want to. He could steal some of Jordan McLaughlin's minutes if you want him initiating offense. I said this the other day, actually, in the JMAC podcast. So I think this was Friday, if I'm not mistaken, when I was breaking down Jordan McLaughlin. If the Wolves are trailing in a game, you may see Jalen Noel essentially at point guard in the second half. You may say Chris Finch saying, hey, you know, Noel, go get us some points. Go get us some points. Defense isn't as big of a deal. You can fill in for D'Lo when D'Lo takes a breather in the second half. Let's go get some points. If the Wolves are leading, Jordan McLaughlin may be the backup. I'm purely speculating. This could make some sense. McLaughlin could be the backup point guard and initiate offense in the second half. The assist to turnover ratio, less upside offensively, obviously, but more and not as big as Noel, but a better defender, more solid on the defensive end of the floor. And Noel would still probably get some minutes at the two there. But you could see him really initiate an offense in games that the Wolves are trailing. And we saw that a little bit in the playoff series against Memphis. The minutes still fluctuated for Noel there a little bit too. But the versatility there is really interesting. He could also steal minutes from Big J-Mac, from Jaden McDaniels. If Ant plays some two and the Wolves decide they want to, you know, if Ant plays some three, he's going to be starting at the two now. But say the Wolves want to play a little bit smaller for whatever reason. Maybe Noel's playing the two and Ant's playing the three in crunch time to give you dynamic scoring and offense from every position. And I have no idea what this will look like. Say the Wolves are behind and you need scoring on the floor. You put Kat at the five, you put Kyle Anderson at the four, or Torian Prince at the four, and you have Ant at the three, Jalen Noel at the two, D'Lo at the one. That's one thing you could do. You could do that with Noel, play him with Ant, play him with the second unit with Ant, where Jalen and Ant are essentially alternating who's initiating offense. You can run a number of different sets that way. These are all possibilities with Jalen Noel. And the dynamic ability that he brings on the offensive end of the floor is impossible to ignore. The last thing on the plus side for him is the pick and roll numbers. We broke this down a couple weeks ago when I did almost a whole episode on Jalen Noel and the case for him to get six man of the year votes. The pick and roll numbers, he was the best pick and roll ball handler on the Timberwolves last year from a point per possession standpoint. And while the volume was certainly not as high as, say, a D'Lo, it was not nothing. Like, he was fourth on the team, I think, in pick and roll opportunities as a ball handler, if I'm not mistaken. And he was number one in points per possession on this team last year. He was fantastic with Karl-Anthony Towns. Jalen and Carl, each of their best two-man lineup was with one another in pick and roll. Overall, their net rating as far as two-man pairings was better with each other. And in the pick and roll, Jalen had the best pick and roll points per possession of anybody on the team, pick and roll ball handler. So the pairing between Jalen Noel and Karl-Anthony Towns, and presumably between Jalen Noel and Rudy Gobert, is going to be really strong if we're to believe those numbers from last year. So his ability to initiate pick and roll, to initiate offense in general, to score at all three levels, to be aggressive in the open floor, all of those things is going to be, plays into the case for him getting more minutes. The biggest concern, of course, is defense. He's arguably the worst rotational defender on this team, worst defender among rotation players on the team. Like, I mean, if you're looking at the entire roster, the only guys that you'd say, oh, he's definitely a worst defender is probably Bryn Forbes. At times, Naz Reid, obviously a different type of player. D'Angelo Russell, I think last year was even better than Jalen Noel in general defensively. I don't know that that will necessarily always be the case. But Noel's got to shore up his defense. If he plays defense, he will be the sixth man on this team, and he will play a ton of minutes. He'll play crunch time minutes. He'll play all over the place. If he doesn't, he'll get benched for Jordan McLaughlin. He'll get benched for Austin Rivers. He'll get benched for Bryn Forbes. The key is, can he defend? Will Chris Finch have any level of confidence in his defense? If he does, we're going to see a lot of Jalen Noel minutes this year. Okay, next I want to talk Taurean Prince, what his role might be this season for the Timberwolves. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. You can find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's opening games of each season. We're, 3 weeks into college football now, going into week four, going into week three of NFL action. And, I said this the other day. I'll bet NBA season like totals, win totals, which, by the way, betonline.net still 48.5 is the Timberwolves win total. Hammer that over. I'm telling you, I'm not making my official prediction yet, but the Wolves will win more than 48.5 games. I'm pretty confident in that. I'll take the season long bets for NBA. Not great at betting individual games, frankly. I'm not so bad with football, although I didn't do great this weekend. The Raiders, blowing their big lead to the Cardinals kind of got me really good this weekend. But that's the place where I'm very comfortable is pro and, to a lesser extent, college football. But football in general, BetOnline's the place you got to go for all that. BetOnline's your continued source for all your sport wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including Major League Baseball, MMA, boxing, and golf. NHL starts up in a couple of weeks as well. You can head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, the seventh man in the Timberwolves on the Timberwolves roster this year, I think the player who, at least at the start of the year, will be allocated, roughly the seventh most minutes, following the five starters and Kyle Anderson, will be Taurean Prince. Now, it's interesting because Prince was a free agent this summer. The Wolves brought him back on a two-year deal. The second year, though, is completely unguaranteed. So this could just be a one-year deal. The Timberwolves have all the benefit here of this deal. They can choose after the season whether or not to bring Taurean Prince back for another season. Of course, he had the legal issues in the offseason. It does appear, per the Timberwolves social media, that he's back in the Twin Cities. There doesn't seem to be any sort of long-term impact to what happened this offseason with him just a few weeks ago, really. But it, as far as we know, it looks like he'll be ready to go for the season. I think the biggest appeal to Taurean Prince, obviously the veteran presence and all that stuff, reportedly a great locker room guy, but he can play the three and the four. And we talked a lot about roster flexibility. I just did that with Noel, his ability to initiate offense and play the two. Even though size-wise, he really is just kind of a two-guard. Noel is. Prince can play the three or the four. And generally speaking, he was better at the four last year for the Wolves in his first year to Timberwolves uniform. However, this year, he's going to be slotted in essentially as the backup three. Kyle Anderson's the backup four and the sixth man. We'll talk about this more when we get to slow-mo, Kyle Anderson. But, I mean, Anderson's going to play with Kat at the five, Anderson at the four, Rudy at the five, Anderson at the four, probably more with Kat. But if that's the case, then I think Taurean Prince is going to get a lot of minutes at the three in some pretty big lineups with Anderson at the four with his length and his size overall and Kat at the five. I think Prince is the primary backup to Jaden McDaniels. The other thing to keep in mind, if we're making the case for him to get more minutes, is Jaden McDaniels was, I'll just say he was really, almost Karl-Anthony Towns-esque in terms of foul trouble last season. I don't have the actual percentage in terms of foul rate in front of me, but he was second on the team in fouls per game. Karl Anthony Towns committed 3.6 fouls per game in 33 and a half minutes a game in just 26 minutes a game. So 7.5 less minutes. McDaniels committed 3.2 fouls per game. So 0.4 fouls less per game in a roughly 7 minutes less per game. So the actual foul rate for Jaden McDaniels, fouls based on time on the floor, is roughly the same as Karl Anthony Towns. So if McDaniels ends up in foul trouble frequently this year, we're going to see a lot more Torian Prince. Now, Prince is a very good team defender. He's, I think at this point in his career, a pretty average on-ball defender. Now, he's had years where he was a plus on-ball defender. He certainly can still do that at times, but he's getting a little bit longer in the tooth. I think he's, a strong team defender. You don't want him in those, you know, on-ball, one-on-one perimeter situations like you can get away with Jaden McDaniels. And by the way, I think McDaniels has a ways to go in a lot of those situations as well. But just the sheer length, the athleticism, the youth, just how bouncy Jaden McDaniels is, you'd rather he be in those situations. Or we'll talk about this in another, well, actually a little bit later today as well, Anthony Edwards defensively on the perimeter, still better than Torian Prince. But Prince is still a good enough team defender and a good enough one-on-one defender that he's going to see those backup minutes at the three primarily. Because of Kyle Anderson at the four, you see more Prince at the three. If Prince does play some four, I think it'll be more with Rudy Gobert at the five in really some smaller lineups. I think the pairing of Anderson at the four and Towns at the five makes a little more sense because of the defensive cover that Anderson can provide. He can help protect the paint a little bit. Good initiator, good kind of leader on the floor. So I think that's more necessary if you have Towns at the five spelling Rudy, or if Rudy's in foul trouble or misses a game or whatever. If Rudy's at the five and Towns is off the floor, so obviously not in the playing the four actively in this situation, I think Prince is kind of your guy at the four. It's either Prince or it's Nate Knight. And I think with Rudy at the five, it's more important. I mean, he's covering rebounding for you, right? So I think Prince at the four, that's how you get away with Prince's lack of rebounding ability at the four. And Prince himself was more effective. He's a better shooter. He was more confident offensively. He was more impactful offensively when he played the power forward spot. But the Wolves as a team were already a bad defensive rebounding team, but they took a complete nosedive with Prince at the four in terms of their rebound rate. So I think Prince could see some minutes at the four, depending on foul trouble, injuries, et cetera, but primarily with Rudy at the five. I think his main role is going to be the backup three behind Jaden McDaniels next to Kyle Anderson at the four. And I think that makes a ton of sense. Last season, Torian Prince was like 20% from three, you know, middle, late December was where he was hovering. He absolutely got on fire in February, March, April, and into May even, really. Torian Prince finished the year 37.6% from three, which was essentially fourth on the Wolves, behind Towns, behind Jalen Noel, and there was one other player on there. It wasn't D'Lo, because we just talked about him. Who was it? Behind Towns, Noel, Malik Beasley, obviously. And he was only behind Beasley by 0.01%, by the way, by a tenth of a percent. So Torian Prince was essentially tied for third on the Timberwolves in three-point percentage behind Towns and Noel. The year prior, which he split between Brooklyn and Cleveland in 41 games, he was 40% from three. For his career, he's 37.1%. So where he ended up last year was right in line with his career mark. And he was ice cold to start the season. So hopefully he's a little bit more consistent over the course of the season rather than an awful 3 months and a fantastic 3 months. I think more even keel would be fantastic for your seventh man. Somebody's going to come off the bench and hopefully give you a level of consistency as a vet who can do multiple things. I mentioned earlier his ability to put the ball on the floor, initiate a little bit. He's not going to be like running offense, but a couple times when the Wolves were shorthanded due to COVID and injuries last season, he did do that with the second unit. He has the capability to do that if needed. And also to create his own shot. That's, you know, back when he was with Atlanta earlier in his career, he was averaging 13, 14 points a game when he was in his early 20s. He at the time, he was still shooting 38, 39% from three. He was kind of like their third, fourth best player on some of those Hawks teams a few years ago. Torian Prince can do that if he needs to. That's not his role on this team. But that also speaks to the depth of this team, right? That he is your seventh, eighth guy. And it's something he can pull out. He can be versatile. He can do lots of different things. We're going to talk here in a minute about Zach Lowe's podcast, what he was talking about the Timberwolves on Tuesday's show, which I'd encourage you to go listen to. He talked on that show a little bit about the versatility of this roster and the mismatches they can create for the opposition, the creative things Chris Finch will be able to do with the roster. And Torian Prince is a pretty big part of that, as is Jalen Noel, who we talked about, as is Kyle Anderson, who we'll talk about on Friday. But expect Prince to primarily play the backup three, see some spare minutes here and there at the backup four. And to start the season, what did I peg Jalen Noel at? I said 16, 17 minutes, you know, anywhere between 14 and 17. I think Prince is in the 17 to 20 range, probably settles around 18 a game. If I had to put a number on it, Noel's 16 a game, Prince is like 18 a game. Matchups, foul trouble, all those things are going to play into it. But I think we're going to look up, and Torian Prince is going to be a bigger part of this rotation. Remember, last year, there were a handful of games he got DNPCDs. He wasn't seeing the floor at times, you know, brief times last season. And it's funny because this is actually a deeper roster. I just think he'll have a more consistent role on this year's team. I also think because he's backing up Jaden McDaniels, and Big Mac has some work to do in terms of avoiding foul trouble. So don't be shocked. Don't be shocked if we see a little more Torian Prince this season than we did last year. His minutes per game last year did end up being 17 minutes per game. I think it could be even a tick higher this year, 17, 18 minutes per game for Torian Prince this year with the Wolves. All right, let's close by talking about Zach Lowe, talk a little Anthony Edwards, and also talk a little ESPN NBA rank. That's how we'll close the show here today. So John Krasinski of The Athletic, of course, fantastic local scribe, podcaster, et cetera, covered the Wolves and the Vikings forever. He was on the Zach Lowe podcast, the Lowe Post podcast over at ESPN on Tuesday. Fantastic show. Zach Lowe, of course, is awesome. First part of the show, I had Kevin Pelton on. They talked some Sacramento Kings. Second part of the show, John Krasinski on. They talked about a number of things. I want to lead with this because this is something we'll focus on once the rest of the list is released, but that ESPN NBA rank, we've talked a lot about player rankings here on the show. I complained about, which was the one I complained about? That was just awful. That came out not that long ago with the player rankings. I'm blanking on which one it was, but one of those player ranking systems came out and it was just atrocious. Where some of the Wolves players ranked didn't make any sense. And ESPN does, but I also talked about Seth Partnow's tiers over at The Athletic. I thought he did a great job with his tiers. I thought the Wolves were mostly properly ranked. ESPN rank has been all over the map over the years. They've done it a variety of different ways. They used to rank 450 players. Now they only rank 100. Their panels composed of over 200 reporters, editors, producers, and analysts, according to the article on ESPN.com. This is a rank of the top 100 players for this season only, based on their predicted contributions, quality and quantity, according to the definition. So the first dump of names was 26 to 100. Now, last season, that would have included Ant. It would have included D'Lo. I think both of those guys were included in that range, right? This year, I would have expected Ant. I would have maybe not expected. I wouldn't have been surprised to see either Rudy or Karl-Anthony Towns around the 25 range. I've talked about them pretty nonchalantly, both as top 25 players. Frankly, probably top 20, certainly in the case of Rudy. I would not have thought Anthony Edwards would be in the top 25. However, this was, I'm sure somebody noticed this first. I first heard this on the podcast when I was listening to John and Zach talk about this. The Timberwolves are the only team in the NBA with three players that will be in the ESPN top 25. It doesn't matter, obviously. It's a ranking done by 200 different people. But fascinating to me that Anthony Edwards is being penciled in as, effectively, if you're a top 25, you're being penciled in as an all-star, right? All-star rosters for both leagues gets you to 24. You're an all-star player in the eyes of the sort of people who make these decisions, generally, right? Obviously, fans vote the starters. I know that. But like the people who ultimately make up these rosters and then influence the voting for All-NBA and all that stuff, Ant is being seen as a top 25 player. Towns and Rudy, despite all of the, you know, the undercurrents and those sub-narratives that are out there, are seen as top 25 players. So I think that's absolutely fascinating. We'll certainly spend some time on it. I don't know when the rest of the list comes out. My guess is it's next week when training camp kicks off, but maybe it's the end of this week. So if it's out before Friday, I'll talk about it on Friday's show. If not, we'll talk about it next week. I'm excited to see where they are. My prediction is that Ant is like 24 or 25, that Towns is right around 20, and that Rudy's right around 15. That's my guess. I think all three will be in the 15 to 25 range. I would be floored if any of them were in the top 15. Maybe not floored. Rudy wouldn't be a shock, but I would be very surprised if any of the three were in the top 15. I will say the rest of the rank, D'Angelo Russell was ranked number 93. Last year, by the way, on this list, he was 63, which is hilarious to me because I've talked so much on the show about how last year was arguably D'Angelo Russell's the best year of his career. I know he was an all-star in Brooklyn. He was an injury replacement. He was good that year. It's an all-star with an asterisk season. Sorry, D'Lo. But it's not at all hard to argue, regardless of how game, whatever, five against Memphis when he was benched at the end of the game for Jordan McLaughlin, regardless of how that game ended, D'Angelo Russell was really good last year. He had a really good season for the Timberwolves. And to drop him 30 slots. Now, he was overranked last year. He shouldn't have been 63. I'll be the first to tell you that. But 93 is an underrank for D'Angelo Russell. D'Lo was an 18-point-per-game guy last year. I know the shooting numbers were down, but he was asked to do so much more distributing the ball, asked to take a little bit of a backseat to Anthony Edwards. And he ultimately finished, I think, third on the team in usage rate, which is where he should have been. D'Lo was efficient. D'Lo was effective. D'Lo was a good passer. He was a good teammate. He did all of those things. Yes, the playoffs were frustrating, but D'Angelo Russell had a nice year last year, and dropping him 30 spots is not the correct ranking of D'Angelo Russell. And I don't know. I think it's a mistake. He's behind Christian Wood. He was behind Christian Wood last year. He's behind Anfernee Simons, who I know had a great year. He's behind Buddy Hield. Like, D'Angelo Russell's a better player than Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield's a great role player, really good role player. D'Angelo Russell's still a starting point guard in this league, a starting combo guard in this league, a borderline all-star. I think there was, like, it wasn't crazy to say he was in the all-star discussion last year. He shouldn't have been on the team, but to say at the all-star break he was a top 30 player wasn't outlandish. So to rank him 93 is a bit mind-boggling to me. I maybe should have spent a little more time on this because clearly you could tell. I'm going to rant about this for a while. I think it's not the proper ranking for D'Angelo Russell. If you're a regular listener to this podcast, I'm a realist when it comes to D'Lo. He's a very polarizing player. I think he is a very good player. He's not worth his contract, but he's valuable. He's a good player, and he's better than 93rd in the league. He's maybe shouldn't be at 63, coming into the season based on this year alone, if you want to factor in how last year ended. But man, I just think it's either one way or the other with D'Lo. I don't know why we can't acknowledge him as a very good starting point guard and a sometimes borderline all-star with, like, it just, the consistency, I know it needs to be better, but like, let's try and be a little more level-headed about D'Lo, even if his play isn't always level. I think That'd be a good way to approach this. Okay. Other things on the Zach Lowe Show, the Lowe Post podcast, please go listen to it. John does a great job, and obviously Zach's podcast is great. They talked a lot about Anthony Edwards on ball defense. This is Zach Lowe bringing this up. I'll say, if you're a regular listener to this podcast, you heard that here first. Ant was a very good on ball defense. Lowe talked about how he watched 4+ hours of Anthony Edwards defense. Or I guess he said 4+ hours of Ant jumpers, but he said he watched hours of defensive possessions and said he's already a plus defensive player, and started to say, and then backed off of saying he could be a defensive team candidate this year, was saying that he will be on an all defense team sooner rather than later is where he landed. I don't know that I go that far, but the ability is absolutely there. He's already an above average on ball defender. And I've been saying that on the show since probably March of this last season, 100%. With Patrick Beverley gone, it's either he or Jaden McDaniels that's the best on-ball defender. And if you're talking guarding ones and twos, it's Anthony Edwards. He just is. Another thing you would have heard here on the podcast that Zach talked about today is that Rudy Gobert, and I guess this is obvious if you're looking at just like roster versus roster, last year versus this year, that Rudy's effectively placing Jared Vanderbilt. But he talked about it in the context of, don't worry about the impact on the Timberwolves offense, because Rudy is like a super duper, super, these are my words, but basically what Zach said, a supersized, much better version of Jared Vanderbilt in terms of what he can do offensively, his hands, his ability to catch lobs, to dive to the rim, all those different things. For as much as we can kill Rudy for not being able to beat Reggie Jackson one-on-one in the playoffs, and that's an issue, which Zach talks about, it's an upgrade over Jared Vanderbilt offensively, and that's without touching the defensive end of the floor, without touching the glass, without touching the rim protecting. And I love Jared Vanderbilt. But I talked about that on the show that, like, hey, Cats played with non-shooting bigs all the time. Taj Gibson, Jared Vanderbilt. Those are the two most obvious examples. But there's others. Gorgie Jang. Gorgie turned into a shooter, but wasn't known for that at the time at all. And then also defensive options and flexibility on the roster. I mentioned this already. That's something else I've talked about quite a bit on the show. And Zach Lowe talks about how he really likes that about the Wolves, the ability to have multiple players do multiple things, guard many positions. That's all true. And then one thing that I thought Zach Lowe did a really good job of pointing out is that the move for Rudy Gobert now at age 30, 31, is a bet not just on the Rudy and Cat pairing and on Karl-Anthony Towns, which it is, but it's every bit as much a bet on Anthony Edwards now. Not necessarily even Anthony Edwards in 2 or 3 years when he's going to be 24, headed into his prime. It's a bet that he can be great now. If Anthony Edwards is truly a top 25 player and can become top 10 by the end of the year, top 15 by the end of the year, if he is truly a transcendent talent, and all of a sudden Rudy Gobert, a three-time defensive player of the year, multi-time all-star, multi-time all-NBA player, Karl-Anthony Towns, three-time all-star, multi-time all-NBA player, are suddenly your second and third best players, I mean, this is a team that's in the top, one of the top 6 or 7 teams in the entire league at the very least. Right. So if Ant makes that leap, that's a bet that Ant makes that leap this year, maybe next year, because you get 3-4 years into the contract for Rudy. And this is part of the thing, right? It's all baked in. Then this becomes a little bit iffier because Rudy's now you're talking a 7+ footer who's in his almost mid 30s gets a bit dicier. So the bet is that Ant can make those leaps now and not waiting multiple years before that happens. And like Zach Lowe, I'm on the side where I think it's very likely that those leaps begin to happen now and not necessarily too far into the future. Again, that's the Low Post podcast over on ESPN. Go check that out. And of course, anything John Kay does is awesome as well. So check out all his stuff as well. All right. So the rest of this week, we'll look at Kyle Anderson. I want to spend a little extra time on him on Friday. Anything else that comes up, we'll cover that. Next week, we'll get into the starters. Obviously, if ESPN NBA rank comes out, if they start to release players later this week, we'll cover them as they're released. But one more show this week on Friday. And then next week, it's on. Media Day, training camp starts. That means that we start 5 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every week, Timberwolves coverage throughout the rest of the season, all the way until free agency or through free agency next year. We will be 5 shows a week, Monday through Friday. Once the season kicks off, we'll be doing post-game podcasts occasionally on the weekends. So you want Timberwolves every day, you're going to get it here with Locked On Wolves. And of course, as always, a big thank you to those of you that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen every single day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. And also at B Beacon with 2 B's, 2 E's, CKEN. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. And for now, go ahead and make the NBA Top 50 on Locked On NBA your second listen. We'll talk more about this later in the week as well as this list is released. The question they're asking on the Locked On NBA feed is which NBA player moves the betting lines the most this season. Locked On and the Bet Online odds makers present the NBA top 50 most valuable players. Find it on Locked On NBA, wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. There are 3 Timberwolves players in the top 50 that haven't been released yet. They weren't in the 41 to 50 range, so I'm not going to spoil it. But as they release it, they're playing audio clips from all the hosts, including yours truly. And I will cover it here on the show as Wolves players are released. I'll give you my 2 cents. So be sure to listen to the NBA Top 50 on Locked On NBA, wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube on the Locked On NBA feed. That's all we got for you today. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.